Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace on us. Thank you for your mercy on us, Lord, as you have given us, Lord, favor to know you, to hear your voice, to believe in you, Lord. Thank you for your mighty, mighty power, Lord, on us. You have called us to be your children, Lord. You have given us hope. And Lord, this morning as we go through your word, we pray that, Lord, you increase our faith. Allow us, Lord, to believe and pray for those things that we don't see, Lord. But we know that they are necessary, Lord. Transformation, Lord. Salvation. Your kingdom to be established. Your will to be done, Lord. Your grace to be known in the area where we live, Lord. Allow us to be bold. To trust in you for miracles, Lord. Open our minds and hearts to you, Lord. And this morning, Lord, as we look into your word, allow us to gauge the level, the measure of our faith, Lord, according to your word. And allow us to see ourselves, Lord, in these passages. Allow us to be, Lord, everything that you have intended for us. In your mighty name, Jesus. Guide us, direct us, Father, in your powerful name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning as we go into the word of God. Thank you, John, and the worship team for leading us this morning. Amen. God is good. I'm going to be reading from John chapter 12 this morning. The Gospel of John chapter 12. And then I'm going to come back to chapter 11. In fact, I'm going to spend a lot of time in the Gospel of John. Something amazing this week for me is just the importance of trusting in Christ, believing in Christ in our daily lives, but also as our Lord and Savior in every area. So we're going to look into this. And the title of the message is Behold the Lamb of God. Having faith in Christ, having faith that saves us, transforms us, and changes us. We every year when this time comes by, you know, Passover and Easter, as we call it often, and Resurrection Sunday, we take the time to focus a little bit in this, which is part of the cross of the gospel, as Hal was saying, the crucifixion of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, the arrival of Jesus to Jerusalem to die for ourselves. And we're going to look at this story here, and this is the moment when Christ is really getting close to Jerusalem. And we read here in verse 1 that 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there, Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with them at the table. Now remember, Lazarus was risen from the dead. And now this is a time of celebration. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. So Christ is back. They are excited. Now, when this is going on in verse 9, it says, when the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the crowd is wondering what's going on, and they want to see Jesus. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well, because on account of him, on account of Lazarus, many of the Jews were going away and believing Jesus. So around Jesus, there's a small group of people, believers, that are seeing the signs, the miracles, the fulfillment of the prophecies, and the promises that are really fulfilling Christ. And a lot of people, because of these miracles, and especially because of Lazarus' resurrection, or I guess resuscitation, they are looking for Jesus to spend time with him, to see him. And the chief priests are planning to kill Lazarus because people is believing in Jesus. So this chapter is about faith in Jesus. Now, the next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." So they are praising Jesus. And if you remember at this point in time, some people is pretty upset. In other Gospels, they come to Jesus and say, "Lord, rebuke them. Why are you allowing them to praise you, to worship you?" And that's the moment when Christ says, "If these men are quiet, the rocks will cry out." Now, Christ is fulfilling the prophecy that is in Zechariah. "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. Now, I want to, at this point in time, before we continue reading here, I want to bring some things up. There is a revolution of faith going on here. There are some people who are trusting in the Lord, in Christ, as Lord and Savior. I mean, he brought Lazarus from the dead. Then you have the chief priests who are against this Messiah, this man, Jesus of Nazareth. And they are even not only willing to put him to death, but they want to put Lazarus to death as well. And then you have the disciples right there who in some ways don't understand everything yet. They don't perceive what is really going on. And I look at this and I think how important it is for us to understand faith. These people are believing in Christ and worshiping Christ and saying, "You are the one who was prophesied and who was to come." Now look in verse 17. "The crowd that had been with them when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness." They are giving witness of Jesus Christ. And the reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Now, among those who went out to worship at the feast were some Greeks. Then we're going to jump to verse 27 here. At this point in time, Christ says, "Now is my soul troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. For this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven in that moment that says, "I have glorified it and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "The voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world, and now will the ruler of the world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever." So we read in the law that the Christ is eternal. And how is it possible that, how can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? So they are believing and yet they are struggling with the words of Jesus Christ. So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light." Now when Jesus said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. And then look in verse 37. "Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him." So you have different groups of people here. And you have different levels of faith going on here. Some of them believe in Jesus Christ because of the miracles. Some of them are looking at the miracles and are persuaded to follow the Lord and worship him. And yet the words of Jesus Christ are to some extent making them think twice before they make a commitment. Now his disciples are not understanding. And then some people, even though he made so many signs before them, and I want to say in this verse here, the signs, it's not just the miracles, but actually the fulfillment of the prophecies of Jesus Christ according to the Old Testament, where he was coming from, all the things he was going to do, and how he was the Messiah. So we look at this, and really this is a revolution of faith. This is a moment of transformation for some, but also a moment of rejection of Jesus Christ for some of these people. And when we read that Jesus was received with praises as the Son of David, we see immediately, just a few days later, that he was rejected by the leaders and he was opposed by the elders and crucified by the crowd. And even though he came to rescue these people, they accused him of blasphemy and they put him on a cross. And I look at that, and the reason is this: unbelief. Unbelief. Now we're going to look at this morning. And why was he praised and eventually rejected? Was it all unbelief? Is that the only reason? Obviously, we know that it was God's plan. He works all things according to the counsel of his will. Amen. And he had already predestined that Christ will die by the hands of lawless men, as the Bible says in the book of Acts. But at the same time, God always works all things according to his will, and at the same time, he keeps us accountable. Amen. We are responsible for our actions and our faith. Now, God uses their unbelief to turn Christ into the Romans and to be crucified. And as I look at this, I think, Lord, how important it is to know that you have a plan. And if I'm not in line with your plan in the right way, I'm going to be in line with your plan in the wrong way. Amen. If I don't have the right faith and the right attitude when I see the miracles and the signs and the way of the Lord, I'm not going to submit to God. I'm going to reject God and I'm going to be full of unbelief. I look at this and I see the blindness of the people towards Jesus Christ. And how even though he came and performed all these signs, they were not enough for them to see that he was the Messiah. Look in John chapter 1, verse 11 through 13. And let's see the consequences of unbelief, but also the blessing of belief for a moment here. It says, he came to his own. This is Christ Jesus. And his own people did not receive him. Now, Christ came to his own purpose, the plan that God had prepared beforehand for Jesus. But also he came to his own people. And he came to his own nation. His nation, his people, did not receive him, but rejected him. But let's see the contrast in verse 12. But to all who did receive him, those who believe, who trust in him, who accept him, who believe in his name, he gave the right. And that word is power, is authority, is a blessing. He gave the right to become children of God. Now when you look at Jesus, Jesus never became a child of God. Amen. He is the Son of Man. But when you look at us, when we trust in Jesus, we become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God himself. This is the power of God on behalf of those who believe in him. But as we look at this, we're going to spend some time first focus on the rejection of the people of Israel, the terrible results of unbelief. And what happened to these people who saw the signs, they looked at Jesus, he shared the gospel with them, he made the miracles, he put the scriptures together for them to see, and yet they reject them. And when we look at this, even though they were waiting for the Messiah, even though Christ came in a time when everybody was expecting that Christ will show up. In fact, in John chapter 1, and I'm going to look at a couple of scriptures here before we go on. They're not in your notes, but in John chapter 1, John was sent from God, John the Baptizer, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. So John came witnessing of Jesus Christ. And then the Bible says in verse 19 of chapter 1 in John, this is the testimony of John. When Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. I am not the Messiah. Now later on, they ask him, why are you baptizing? If you're neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet, why are you baptizing? So John answered, I baptize with water, but among you stands one who you do not know. So he testified that Christ was already in the midst of these people. And then in verse 29 of chapter 1, John says, the next day he saw Jesus coming to him, and he said, behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. See, when we think of Christ coming, very often, you know, we think as Americans, we think as people in the Western side of the world. You know, we weren't waiting for Christ, okay? We didn't know about the gospel. We didn't know that He was God. But the Jewish people, the Israelites, they were looking for the signs. They were waiting for the Messiah because for millennia they had been told the Messiah will show up. So even though they were waiting, some people did not recognize Him. And the reason they didn't recognize Him, it was because of their unbelief. They didn't trust in Christ. They didn't put the signs and the scriptures together. They didn't put Christ and His power together with the things that the Bible says. Now there's plenty of signs and scriptures and miracles in the Bible that reveal that Jesus was the Messiah. In fact, the core of the Gospel of John is this. These things were written for you to believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world. That there were many other signs that He performed and accomplished, but these things were written for you to believe that He is the Savior of the world. Now, where is your faith this morning? As we look at this, and you are confronted with this, verses, and maybe looking at it, are you trusting in Jesus? And you may say, I am a Christian. I accepted Jesus Christ in my life. What is God's will for your life? Are you in line with His will in every area of your life? Look at this in John 6:35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me, if you trust in me, you shall never thirst. Look at the words of Jesus. But I say to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. You've seen the miracles. You've seen me and you do not believe. You heard the prophecies. You saw Zechariah prophesying, John the Baptist prophesying, Simeon and all the men that bore witness of Jesus. And yet you don't believe. John 6:40-42 says this. This is the will of my Father. Christ is speaking. That everyone who looks in the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life. And I will raise them up on the last day. So the Jews grumbled about Him. This group of Jews is the core. I mean, everybody was a Jew there, mostly, in Jerusalem. But it's talking about the people from the tribe of Judah. It's talking about the people, the Levites, and the chief leaders of Jerusalem. They grumbled about Him because He said, I am the bread that come down from heaven. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does He may say, I have come down from heaven? Now, yes, it was challenging. He was a carpenter's son. He was a regular man for 30 years. And all of a sudden, He's saying, I am the Messiah. I am the one who was prophesied. But He's bringing the scriptures. He's telling them all the things that the scriptures said about Him. Now, even though they heard His message, His own people did not understand Him. They didn't recognize Him, but they wouldn't understand the words. Blindness takes place and overtakes a person when there is unbelief from God. Look at this in John 8:42-43. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but He sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. See, if you question, why will they reject them? Why the unbelief? Have you ever considered this? They didn't think Jesus was the king they were expecting. They were expecting a savior from the Roman Empire, not a spiritual savior. They saw the oppression of the Romans more difficult and heavier than the spiritual oppression they had in their hearts. So when Christ comes and He says, submit, surrender, believe, obey my word, they will not submit to the word of God. They cannot bear to hear the word that Jesus Christ was saying. So they didn't understand the message. It was their unbelief. Now, even though they saw the signs, some people did not accept Jesus. They didn't receive Him. They said, you're feeding. And they questioned this. Has anybody else said these things before? Anybody else before Christ made these kinds of miracles? I mean, you look at the story of the Gospels, and people from the Canaanite woman, People from other nations trusted in Jesus and believed in him. The centurion trusted in Jesus. Jesus was marveled at his faith. And the very people of Israel had closed their eyes to receive and accept Jesus Christ. Look in John chapter 12. We're going to go back to John 12 where we were and continue to read right there. And it says in verse 38. Actually, we'll pick it up again in verse 37. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe him. So that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Lord, who has believed what he heard from us? When you believe the word of God, look what happens. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? So the power, the arm, the grace of God is given to those who believe. But they close their eyes. Therefore they could not believe. For again Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart. So when you have faith, you hear, you see, and then you understand the things of God. And turn, and I will heal them. Yes, it was the will of the Lord to blind them, but it was also the rejection of Jesus Christ and their blindness. And so Christ is rejected by them. And then look in verse 42. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him. But for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it. Why would they reject him and not believe in him? Why was their faith so weak to not confess him before others? Look what it says. So that they will not be put out of the synagogue. The position, the place, the rank that they had in the synagogue was more important. Maybe society, a place in culture. They believe, but they will not confess them so that they will not be put out of the synagogue. And then look in verse 43. For they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. For they love the glory of man more than the glory that comes from God. How many of you know that faith is in different stages very often? You know that? Sometimes we have strong faith. And sometimes we're struggling in our faith. God has given us faith and we should cultivate our faith. And have a faith that is willing to confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to believe in that, in the Messiah, to believe in the power of God. But when we struggle in our faith, when we waver in our faith, when we don't commit to God because of unbelief, terrible consequences happen in our lives. These people believe in Jesus, and yet they will not confess him for fear of the authorities, for fear of being kicked out of the synagogue, and then eventually they love the glory of man more than the glory of God. It was not enough faith for them to make a commitment. And that's what we're looking at this morning here. The importance of believing in Jesus Christ. Now, do you believe this morning? Where is your faith? I mean, I was thinking of this week and studying through it and saying, Lord, are there things in your kingdom and in your will for my life that I'm not believing in? Are there areas in my life where I need to trust in you deeper, stronger, and I'm doubting you? And I may be a Christian, I may be a leader, I may be a pastor, I may be someone who believes in the Bible and yet I may not be believing that you want to do something greater in my life. That's what I want to challenge you with this morning. Look in John chapter 1 verse 12, and we're going to look at the second point here, God's power for those who believe. But to all who did receive him. I don't know. But to receive Christ every moment in our lives. To receive him every morning. Every day. And to say, Lord, what do you have for me today? What is your will for me today? To those who receive him. Who believed in his name. He gave the right to become children of God. It is the power of God to be sons and daughters of God. Now remember, a person without Christ is defined as an enemy of God. Colossians chapter 1 verse 12, Romans 5 says we were enemies of Christ. In fact, it says we were sons of wrath. Of wrath. But when Christ revealed himself to us, we were reconciled with him. And now we are moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And we belong to the kingdom of God. So those that praised Jesus in chapter 12 and followed him, they were acting through faith in God. They were believing. And yet, they were being persuaded at the same time. So Let's look at this for a moment, how important it is to believe, but to persevere in faith. Amen? The righteous shall live by faith. The righteous who live by faith. To remain in faith, to endure in faith. The chief priest made plans to put Lazarus to death as well. Because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. So the attack of the enemy through the chief priest is bring them back. Take Lazarus down. Lazarus down so that people is not believing. Satan does not want people to believe in Jesus. Now we look at this. The next day the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, Hosanna. This was the greatest praise for a king. The anointing of the Messiah. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. So when you believe, there is power of God in our behalf. Faith is necessary for us to receive the gifts of God. When we look at the power of God is given to those who believe in Jesus Christ as the promised Messiah. Anything that we are able to receive from God is because we are trusting and believing in God. Look in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Faith pleases God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. If you're here, and you say, my faith is weak. If somebody hears the gospel and they say, well, I like it. Sounds good. It's really good, but I don't really know if I have the faith to believe. Look at this verse. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. There is a wall that is separating you from the blessings of God. For whoever will draw near to God must believe that He exists. Not only that He's real, that He's there, but that He rewards those who seek Him. Believing and trusting in God is very important for us. Now, when we start believing in God, it's all by grace. It's the grace of God. We will not be able to say it's because I believe, as Alistair Begg was saying in the video. When we show up before the throne of God, we will say, Lord, thank you for opening my eyes. Thank you for giving me the grace. Thank you for allowing me to have the faith that I had. Nevertheless, it is important for us to trust in God, to increase in faith, to cultivate our faith. Look in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. There is a measure of faith that God assigns to every person. When God opens our minds and our hearts and He gives us that measure of faith, He wants us to increase our confidence, our faith in Him. One of the things that we do when we go to the Word of God is we learn His ways, His power, His attributes, His ability, and then we learn where we feed in the kingdom of God and we say, Lord, I believe and trust in you. I believe that you are powerful. I know that you have a plan for me. Lord, what is your will for my life? In fact, I want to read a little bit here in Mark 11. There was a moment, the Bible says, verse 11, chapter 11, verse 20, Mark 11, 20. The Bible says that as they were coming at this point in time to Jerusalem, in the morning, they saw a fig tree wither away to its roots. And Peter, if you remember, remembered in his mind and in his heart, Jesus prayed against this fig tree. He remembered and said, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered. And Jesus answered them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Faith is not sustaining us just because we have faith. Our faith will accomplish mighty things when our faith is sustained in God or by God Himself. Amen? We have to put our faith in God. We can't say, oh, I have faith, therefore I can do all these things. No. The real faith and the faith that God wants to see is a faith that is resting on the miracles, in the attributes, and in the principles of God Himself. So Christ is saying to them, you saw that I cursed this fig tree. You see it dead now and you're wondering, wow, what a miracle. Let me tell you something. Have faith in God. So our faith needs to rest in God. And then he says, truly I say to you, whoever says this to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. What a miracle when we trust, when we believe, when we deepen our faith in the Lord. It's a miracle. Look in Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 10. Faith pleases God, but also faith gives us the ability to receive from God. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. When we trust in the Lord and the word of God is in our hearts, that is a word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be healed. You will be transformed. You will be protected. You will be guided. God will be for you continually when you are trusting in him. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Now, faith is important, but how many of you know that even when we don't trust, God is guiding us and directing us? Amen? And yet, I want to say this to you this morning. The lack of faith in our lives reduces the miracles, the power, and the favor of God in our lives continually. One of the things that I consider often is this: Lord, one day when I show up to heaven, I don't want to be told there was more for you to do, but you didn't trust in me. That would be really, really challenging. You know, when you start, faith not only pleases, not only receives, but faith prays to God, confesses to God, comes and asks God for more. And sometimes we say, Lord, I see this need in front of me. I see this situation in front of me. Lord, there is something that you're putting in my heart through your word. You're stirring something, and I want to pray and I want to ask for your work to be established and to be done. And when you start moving in faith, faith prays to God for greater miracles. You know, I want to share with you something. 3 weeks ago, as I was praying and thinking about baptisms, I started thinking, Lord, why do we struggle sometimes to believe that our youth could submit and surrender their lives to the Lord? Remember that I came to the pulpit and I said, let's pray for our youth. Let's pray for the church as we approach baptism. Amen? You know, last week, a gentleman came with his son to the office. And I think I shared this, but as I was sharing the gospel with them, and I was going through the scriptures with them, the boy is listening and saying, I do believe. That's why I want to be baptized, because of these verses right here. God is putting it on my heart. Now, we were all praying. I'm sharing the gospel with this young boy. And the father is on the side listening. And he said, you know, I've never heard these passages before. And I've never heard and saw the plan of salvation in the Bible. I've been coming to church for 4 years. And I didn't know all these things. I want to do the same thing. I want to commit my life to the Lord. Because I see that it's all about the grace of Jesus Christ. In the same week, another boy came and committed his life to the Lord. Sometimes when God puts something in our hearts, and we read here, in your heart is the word of God. Close to your heart is the word of God. When God is stirring something in us, and we start believing in the Lord and praying to God, God opens doors for us to see his miracle and his power. Amen? I want to share a couple of stories here. I remember when Doug came to me 19 years ago, Pastor Doug, and he said, I have a vision and a passion for a Hispanic ministry in our church. We just started a Christian school, but I have a vision and a passion for a Hispanic ministry in the congregation. And I was praying on my own for a church in Spanish in this community. Let me tell you something. That was a long shot. But he prayed, he believed, he started trusting in the Lord, and he started asking God for miracles. And a year later, the Lord opened this place, and the community, the Hispanic community, started listening to the gospel in this congregation, in this church. God has ways in which he is moving. Amen? God works in us. And one of the things that I want to challenge you with this morning is this. Do you know there is power in God for those who trust in him? For those who believe? Are you willing to submit to the Lord and say, Lord, am I trusting you enough? Or am I rejecting some of the things that you wanna and could do in my life? Now look at this. Faith not only pleases God, not only leads us to receive from God, not only understands God more, gives us discernment. Look in Luke chapter 8, verse 10 through 12. Jesus said, to you It has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. So when we accept Christ, when we are part of the kingdom, God gives us a discernment and understanding that is beyond regular people in this world. Some people were rejecting Christ in their blindness, and some people were worshiping Christ as God and Savior at this point in time. Why? Because of faith in their lives. Because of the discernment that that faith gave to them, Lazarus and the family. Now look at this. When Christ is explaining this in Luke chapter 8, he says, so that seeing, okay, so you understand the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables. Things are hidden for them. So that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. And this is a parable of the sower. But the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. See, when the word of God is in our hearts, when the passion of God is in our hearts, when the direction of God is given to us, there is one purpose that Satan has against us. To snatch the word of God away from us. And to leave us empty. But if we retain the word of God, if we trust the word of God, that word brings us to faith, brings us to understanding and to receive the miracles of Jesus Christ in our lives. So we see this, and God's power was acting by the faith of these people as they are worshiping the Lord and blessing Him. Well, we continue to look at this, and the promises of God, every promise of God in the Bible is given when we believe in Jesus Christ. Now that doesn't mean God fixes every fix and He opens every door that we want open. But you know, when we trust in God, even though He may not change the circumstances, His promises are for us to remain strong in the Lord, to believe in Him. Look at John 6:29. Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent." This is the action that you have to put. Believe in Jesus whom He has sent. Trust in Him that He has a call for your life. When you trust in Him, all the promises of Jesus are given to us. To those who believe in Him, He gave the right to become children of God. Children of God. If you are a child of God, you are accessing the blessings and the grace of God in your life. Now what is that? Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 8. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you by His poverty might become rich. We are blessed in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. I mean, we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, the Bible says, to accomplish His purpose. All things that pertain to God and to life and godliness have been given to us so that we may stand in faith. Now we look at these and it starts from salvation, but it also gives us the hope and the peace that we need to continue ahead. The access to His grace. Look at a couple of verses. First of all, Romans 3:22-23. The righteousness of God is given through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. How many of you are righteous this morning? None of us is righteous in our own ability. But through Christ, the righteousness of Christ is given to us. And then there is no distinction. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. God Himself came to die for us. And His righteousness, the righteousness of God, is given to us so that we may be righteous before the presence of the Lord. And then in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, look at this blessing. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, that's the position that we have as Christians, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a blessing. This is a promise for us. We are in good relationship with the Lord, but we have peace in our hearts. And then it says here, through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. That faith leads us into the access of the grace of God again. And we stand there and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We are joyful. We are full of peace. We have the justification of God over our lives. But not only that, everything that we need for life and godliness is given to us through that faith in Jesus Christ. What a blessing to know, to believe who we are in Christ when we accept Him as Lord and Savior, and when we trust in Him. Now, we're going to move forward here with the last point this morning, and then we're going to prepare our hearts for communion. But one of the things that we see through this passage in John chapter 12, when Christ came to Jerusalem, is that we are challenged by God to believe, to trust in Him, to put our faith in Him in every way. I mean, we have creation reveals the goodness of God, the favor of God. The gospel is speaking to us continually. The signs of Christ have been fulfilled. The Spirit is directing us and motivating us and giving a sensitivity to the Lord. And when I think of these things, all the prophecies of the Bible have been fulfilled in Christ as a Messiah. There are some that are going to be fulfilled when He comes back. But we Christians, we have, if we look at history, we have more information and more fulfillment of the promises of Jesus Christ than any other generation. Amen? We have Him. We are seeing the world being directed exactly in the places where the Bible speaks of. And so here we are in 2023, and sometimes we think the nation is going from bad to worse. The culture is rejecting Jesus Christ. The church is dying in America. Politicians are doing whatever they want. Things are not looking good around us, right? Let me ask you one thing. Is God still in the throne? Does He still have a plan for us right now in the American church? And are we dependent on the politicians? Are we dependent on the economy? Are we dependent on the culture or technology? Are we dependent on what the world is doing? No, we depend on Jesus Christ. We go to John 12 and look at this. Jesus said to them, and this is a challenge for them, the light is among you for a little while longer. And I don't know about you, but the light is in us right now. Amen? And we have the light for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light. Walk in that light, lest darkness overtakes you. See, the opposition of Satan is to overtake us with that darkness. Do you have hope and faith in your marriage? I mean, let me ask something, maybe more personal. Do you have faith in your children, in God, that your children are going to follow the Lord? Not in your children, but in God, that God has a plan for your children. Are you trusting Him? I remember, you know, when I said, Lord, if you call me, you're going to do great things. But Lord, this is my prayer, that my children will walk with you. Because what am I doing out there preaching and proclaiming if my own family is not walking with you? You know, I look at my kids right now worshiping the Lord, singing and believing in God in the house, and wrestling with the Word of God and debating things of the Bible. And sometimes they are leading me into these conversations. And I think, Lord, thank you. Thank you for using these things in the school and in the church and in the world to steer their faith up. To see them worshiping the Lord. You know, my dad, after 28 years, he surrendered his life to the Lord. And I was praying these last few weeks. I have a brother. He's not walking with the Lord. And I was saying, Lord, what are you going to do in my brother, Lord? How can I be part of what you want to do in his life? Let your kingdom come in his marriage, in his family, in his life. We need to continue to believe in the Lord while we have the light, unless darkness overtake us. Amen? Because one of the problems sometimes is this, that Satan comes and whispers in our ears and he says, there's no hope anymore for this situation. Right? You're lost. It doesn't matter how much you pray. This situation is completely gone. No! I trust in the Lord and I believe in a God of power, a God of miracles. Amen? It took a miracle for me to walk with Jesus, and it will take a miracle to continue going on. Do I believe in Jesus Christ? Look at this. The one who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. And whatever you are sons and daughters of light. And you are spreading the power of Jesus Christ in your life. Amen? I want to trust in God. Now look at this. God calls us to believe, for faith in Christ is the power for transformation. The power of God for transformation. We need that kind of faith that continues to transform our lives. Romans 1:16-17 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. The power of God for transformation, for salvation, is for those who believe. And then Paul says, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in the righteousness of God is revealed, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous who live by faith. You receive life through faith, but also you remain in that life and persevere in that life by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ continually. Now, if you look at the gospel, what we've been seeing here in the Gospel of John, everything that Jesus accomplished had one purpose. And mainly it was to transform the faith of the disciples. Look in John chapter 2, verse 11. And this is after he converted, he changed the water in wine. He says, this is the first of his signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed him. This is the first of the signs that he performed. And when the disciples, his followers, saw them, when they saw the glory of Jesus Christ, they believed in him. Now, it's not in your notes there, but I'm going to read it in John chapter 20. And look what it says. And I quoted this before. Verse 30. Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Now, when we think of this life, this transforming power of Jesus Christ, he came to give us life and give it abundantly. Amen? Abundantly. Are you living in that life? I mean, are you waking up in the morning and saying, Lord, thank you for the life you have given me? Are you excited about what the Lord is doing in your life? Are you trusting in him? Are you of those that is willing and ready to confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Not only in church, not only in the Christian crowd, but also in the unbelieving crowd. Because Christ's power is moving you continually. That's the kind of faith that I'm talking about right here. Now, we're gonna look at one passage, just to finish. We're going all over the place here, but we're going to prepare our hearts for communion. And I want to just invite you to look at this passage, Matthew chapter 15, something that was just placed in my heart this morning. And this, there is a contrast right here, Matthew chapter 15, verse 22. Because I look at the Jewish people not trusting in Jesus, not believing in Jesus, rejecting him. I look at his disciples finally surrendering and trusting in Christ as they saw the signs. And yet, the power of Christ was so evident, I want to say this. The power of Christ was so evident that people outside the Jewish community were seeing the miracles and the grace of the Lord. And they were trusting and praying for it. And when you look at this, there might be some questions that you have, but I want you to see the faith of this woman. It says here that Jesus went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." The kingdom of darkness is always trying to overcome. Now, this lady is going to Christ from Canaan, from Sidon, from Tyre. She's not even Jewish. And she's asking Jesus for mercy. Now, he did not answer her a word. I mean, Christ was quiet here. And his disciples came and begged them, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." I mean, not much mercy here by the disciples either. And Christ is quiet. And this lady is in a big, deep need. Now, he answered to her I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, my kingdom is going to be fulfilled with the Jewish first, and then my disciples are going to extend the kingdom to the other regions. But right now is not your time, lady. I love you and I see your need. I see that you believe in me and you're praying and asking for mercy, but I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, Adonai, Adonai, is he your Lord? And then look what it says, Lord, help me. And he answered, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. I mean, Christ is just doubling against her in a way. He's saying, okay, these blessings are for the kingdom kids. You're not part of the kingdom. And then she says this in humility. And this is another thing. Faith leads you to humility. She says, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Now I look at this and I think, she humbled herself before the word of Jesus Christ. She trusted that he was Adonai, the Lord. She knows that he's able to do the power. Not only that, she says, the crumbs that fall from the table are plenty for the miracle that I need in my life. That is faith right there. Now look what Christ says. Then Jesus answered her, oh woman, great is your faith. Christ says, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. In a moment, the daughter was healed right there. Let's just prepare our hearts here. And maybe as you look at this passage this morning, maybe there are areas in your life where you need to trust the Lord more. I mean, I don't know where you are. I try to perceive where we are as a congregation, but I think we live in a time where we need to grow in faith, to trust in the Lord. Faith leads us to transformation. Faith changes the circumstances into victories, even when the circumstances remain the same. Faith obeys. Faith is the way in which God wants us to live. And Lord, we humble ourselves before your presence. We recognize that it is you, Lord, who accomplishes things in our lives. You have called us to believe in you, to trust in you, to grow in our faith to you, Lord. And even faith as a little grain of mustard, Lord, is enough to move a mountain, Lord. It is not the amount of faith, but really it is our faith in you, Lord, where we put our faith. This morning, Lord, we surrender to you. And we ask you that you open our minds and hearts to the things of heaven, Lord, to the supernatural things, Lord, that you have. Let your kingdom be established in the midst of this congregation. And also, Lord, your will be done in our lives. And Lord, as we prepare our hearts for communion, I pray, Lord, that we will receive your gift of salvation always, based upon your sacrifice. And never, Lord, trust by any means other than your blood, Lord. Not by works, not by our ability, not by our own faith, only through you, Jesus Christ. We thank you. We worship you this morning. In your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. So I'm going to invite you to come or go to the back tables there for the elements. And then when everybody's back in the pews, I'm going to lead us into communion this morning. You may come now.